We're going through a series on the ways the Holy Spirit speaks to us and works in our lives. And my goal is, I hope you are seeking the Spirit of God in all these things. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." Everyone in the room say advocate. "Who will never leave you." Who will never leave you. You hear that? He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. That was Jesus declaring the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The word advocate in verse 16 comes from the Greek word parakleti, which has no perfect English translation. It's a word that translates the one who is called alongside. So there are English translations that use other words in this place: advocate, helper, counselor, and comforter in its place. What a wonderful promise, church, that Jesus has requested of the Father to send the Holy Spirit to intimately walk alongside you in life. Jesus even teaches his disciples that it is better that he leave and sends the Holy Spirit because he can actively work in everyone's life individually at the same time. Jesus in the physical, he couldn't achieve that. And so maybe you are sitting here today and you're holding on to this wonderful promise that God has sent his Holy Spirit to comfort you, or perhaps, just maybe, you are proving to be the toughest person in the room and you're like, "I don't need comforted." Today I want to lay out an argument that the reason so many are struggling through life is because you haven't approached God to seek comfort to your life. Since I was a little kid, my parents said, "He's an independent person." Do we have any independent people in the room? All right. You know what I've discovered the older I've gotten? I'm more dependent than I thought I was. And there are trips that I have to do alone from time to time, and I realize I don't do alone well. I don't. And I realize that there are so many that need comforted. And just so I know who I'm speaking to in the room, who says, "Man, I'm in the need of some comfort today. I'm in the mood for the Holy Spirit to give me comfort." I want to pray over you. Father God, we just thank you for all those in the room today that say, "Lord, I need some comfort in my life." God, I pray that, Lord, as we understand the roles of the way you work in our lives, that, God, we can release the comforts of this world and embrace the comfort of your Holy Spirit. God, be with us in this message, in this word today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. You know what? There is an allure to this world. But that allure comes at the cost of an emptiness. It's an allure and an emptiness of the world, because what the world offers is quick fixes, because the world is decaying. The world is dying. Everywhere you look around, it doesn't last. Is there anything on this earth that seems to last? You know what? I think the more and more they make newer cars, the less and less they last. You know, it's crazy. And what the odd thing about us as human beings is we all seek comfort in something. For instance, I tell myself I take comfort in sports. Church, I am a Chicago Bears fan. And every off season, we win it, man. Like we get the best coach in the world. We get the number one quarterback. We get everything. And then I'm going into week one. This is the year. Like, we're going to surprise everybody. And then sure enough, by week two, I'm so apathetic. I hate this team. I want nothing. Blow the whole thing up. I almost put out there, I am a free agent this week. I am willing to consider rooting on your team. You might not want me. You might not want me because I just bring bad vibes. And I ask myself, why do I torture myself? And here's the thing, though. Our culture suggests that if you're hurting, if you're confused, if you're feeling lost, there are things that you can do to feel better about yourself. There are things you can do. For instance, you can go to a therapist. You can go to a therapist for your problems. And here's the thing. I'm not discounting therapy. There are people that genuinely need it. But I can tell you, to me, therapy is only good through a correct lens. For instance, you know, in the United States, we have about 33 counselors per 100,000 people per capita. And you guys know I travel kind of all over the world, and there was an interesting stat I heard. In the country of Argentina, they have 222 counselors per 100,000 people. 90% of the population of Buenos Aires is counseled. But you know what they have found is they're seeking counseling. Even though they have the accessibility to help, they have more sounding boards than ever before. It is a society driven toward self-love, self-help. Who've heard those words? Yet there is more confusion, there's more loneliness, and there is this feeling of being lost more than ever in Gen Z than any prior generation before it. Isn't it interesting that so often we think that these electronics that we have or our phones bring us connectivity, and more the people that are addicted to it find themselves lonelier than ever? It's fascinating to me. And it's clear that there is an epidemic, and the modern day suggestions that we are given are proving not to be viable solutions. So maybe for you, it's not counseling. Congratulations, you don't need therapy. I'm a Chicago Bears fan. I need therapy, okay? But maybe for you, on a stress-filled day, there's nothing better than going home and drowning your sorrows in alcohol. Maybe you need stimulants to get you through. Maybe you're at odds with your spouse, and so there's more comfort in turning to pornography than trying to work things out. And we seek all these things that we deem as comforts. When we do that, we're blind to the things of the Spirit. We can't honor God in any of that. Listen to John 14, 17 again. It says, He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you now and will later be in you. Here is the reality, church. The worldly pursuits drain us because they're counterfeit. So it's going to continue to leave you feeling empty, even though you're told these things will help. And we often inflict more pain in these worldly comforts. There might be someone here that maybe you feel so trapped by your situation that you've fallen into a depression you don't even know how to get out. Even in the realm of the church, here's the reality today. Most churches you go to, we tend to reflect more of the world than we do of God. And at times, the altars are full. And we do want comforted in that moment, but often we fail to take the steps daily in our lives to turn to God. And let me tell you, even as a pastor, I've struggled with this. Bad things have come my way, and next thing you know, I'm blowing up the phone, and I'm talking to everyone who I think will care so that they can give me comfort in my situation. I don't just go to God and say, God, I need you to speak to this. And here's the reality and the struggle that we deal with. We want comfort and peace in our lives. Who wants comfort and peace? Come on. But not at the risk of being uncomfortable spiritually. That's a problem. And I sit there and I wrestle with this thought. Why do we struggle so much turning things over to the Holy Spirit, to allow God to work? And I thought, perhaps we have more of the world in us than of the Spirit. Listen to John 17, 14 through 16. It says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. This is Jesus crying out to the Father. He said, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And what I learned from this is if you give all yourself to Jesus, you can't receive worldly solutions to godly problems. And so many of us, we are victims of that. And there's this battle that we don't recognize because oftentimes we're using our fleshly eyes. There's this battle for your soul. And many are blind to it because we're stuck in this state of being broken. We're stuck in this state of being hurt from a world that is also broken. Church, God can't repair all the broken pieces if you are trying to hold it all together with worldly answers for your problems. For example, so often we think, if I had just done blank or received blank or I can get blank, then all my problems would be solved. If I just had that thing, it would fix everything. Here's what I can guarantee you. A new problem is going to arise. And so when it comes down to it, we have to separate ourselves from the world, because when you accept Jesus, you have chosen to die to the world and become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is past. New life has come. And I have to walk forward in that. And today we even received it. There is an invitation that the Holy Spirit is giving us that we need to surrender our hurts. This might be worth writing down. I don't know. True comfort comes not from striving, but from surrender. And we hear that word and we think surrender is a position of weakness. We attach these negative connotations to it. In John 14, 16, it tells us that Jesus calls the Holy Spirit an advocate, another advocate introduced into our lives. Or, you know, we went over those words like comforter or paraclete in the Greek, one called alongside to help us. And here's the thing I know about surrender. It is not just this passive thing, but it is you making an active invitation to say, my way is not working. Think about it. Holding on to pain, that clearly isn't working. But many of us do. Many of us still live in the hurts of the past, and it affects us today. It affects our relationships around us today. It affects how people view us. But if we would declare all my doubts, all my losses, just, Lord, walk with me in this. We might not know how God's going to provide the answer. But as long as He just walks with us through it. Who knows? It is so much better going through difficult things with someone than alone. I was thinking about Ethan this week. And I was thinking about those lonely moments up in the hospital. And I was thinking about how special it is to have parents who are right there beside you as you're going through something. How special it is for family. And then I started thinking about the other people that have to go through those things alone. I'm like, Lord, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. But here's the thing. If we call on the Holy Spirit, He is there. He is there. But here's the issue with surrender. There are absolutely parts of our lives where we're like, God, I want to give it all up to you. But not that one thing. Not that one thing. I want to hold on to that. We say things like, God, take my pain, take my hurt, take my doubt, but don't take my lust from me. I like that. We might say, God, keep me from harm, protect me, but let me hold on to that lie. That lie has helped me. And I have found it is true for each and every one of us. The only way for you to truly to surrender to God is that we give our whole life to Him. Let Him take complete control. And here's the thing that I love about the Holy Spirit. He doesn't come into your life by force. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman and He waits for your yes. And so today I even said we need to open up our door to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, because the reality is that if we're holding on to sin, if we're holding on to bitterness or unforgiveness, it does not open the door to surrender. And here's the reality, God. That's my phrase lately. Here's the reality. No, it's all reality, guys. God doesn't just deal in the business of fixing your problems the way you see it. He fixes your problems the way He sees it. And there are so many parts of us that we're looking in the mirror and we know how we see ourselves, but yet there are other people around us that see us differently. And we have to open up our ear to how they see us too. And so often they have seen, my wife particularly, she's good at it, seeing things about me that I don't see. And honestly, I'm my biggest critic, so usually she's giving me positive affirmation and always telling me of who I am when I don't believe it. But surrender starts somewhere. It has to start somewhere with God. And I acknowledge, church, I'm not a finished product. None of us are finished products. So when I go to God in my distress and He reveals to me there's so much more inside that He needs me to be healed of, there's so much more inside that He needs to change within me. And so I encourage you, church, this isn't a day where I say, you know what, do not come to this altar until you're ready to surrender it all. I would say, start by stepping out to say, God, I'm going to surrender this part of me. And the moment you open the door to the Holy Spirit, what He's going to do is like, hold on, there's more. There's more. And just open up yourself to the truth. I'm not like God yet, but I want to be. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to come in, speak into our lives. And what I've found is the moment we step into that true invitation for God to work, it's not just to bring a moment of relief, amen? It's not to bring a moment of relief. It's to transform us for the rest of our lives. And I don't want the Holy Spirit in my life to comfort me just because I want a comfortable life. So many of us, we look at our problems and we're like, I expected God to just take all my problems away. Instead, God, what He does is He lightens the burden. He lightens that load that the difficult parts of my life are easier to walk through because God is walking alongside me. Amen. We've talked about it a lot recently. We've talked about Saul's conversion. The early church, they were living in a state of discomfort because there was a Jewish council called the Sanhedrin that they did not like Christianity spreading amongst the Jews. And so they are actively working to stop it. And we referenced a few weeks ago, they killed the apostle Stephen because Stephen was being very bold and outspoken for his faith. Jewish council said, we don't like that. They drug him out of town and they stoned him. And there was a young man named Saul. And they even laid their cloaks at Saul's feet, symbolizing that he was kind of the leader of that movement. Then in Acts chapter 9, Saul, that main leader, he's been killing Christians, and he all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes upon him. A bright light is shown on him in Damascus, and Jesus reveals himself to him. Saul, who's blind for 3 days, he's instructed by Christ to go to a specific town, and he is converted, and he dedicates his life to Christ. And the Lord speaks to this man named Ananias, imploring him to take Saul in. And you can only imagine the fear. You can only imagine the trepidation. Hold on, he's been killing Christians. And God, what kind of God are you if you're not going to repay all his evil and smite him down? Like, we think that's how God works, but that's not how God works in this case. And God provides Saul mercy where most of the church didn't feel he deserved any. And Ananias wrestled with this, but so did the early church. So imagine the conflict that Ananias had in saying, no, trust me, the Spirit of God is with this guy. We need to trust him. Listen to Acts 9, 26 through 31, as Ananias takes him to Jerusalem and he preaches and ministers. It says, and when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. Listen to this last sentence. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. This is the early church. I mean, they had seen God moving in an amazing way when the infilling of the Holy Spirit took place on the day of Pentecost. Peter went out there and he spoke full of the Holy Spirit and he saw some 15,000 people. They only, if you read the scripture, they only counted the men. He saw some 15,000 people converted that day because of his word and what the Holy Spirit was doing. They saw amazing things happen. And all of a sudden, this guy who's been killing Christians, and they realize that they're not immortal, that there is an enemy that is out against them. They're having to be tested, and they're having to trust in the Lord even further. I did say you have to surrender everything. And that is 100% true. But God has shown me that over the years, I surrender everything I'm aware of. My insecurities, my sins, my doubts, my hurts. And God reveals even more. But when I open the door to what I'm aware of, what I'm hiding, God speaks to and he deals with beyond what I see and what I'm aware of. And you need to just open yourself up to God. Church, aren't you glad the path that God has us on is not finished until we're called home to eternity? There's not a single one of us that are perfect. So opening the door completely to surrender to God doesn't make you complete. It's the beginning of transformation. And this is where we finish today. Transformation of lives touched by the Creator. So often I think, you know, if I come down to this altar, God's going to supernaturally do a work that's going to completely change me in an instant. And the Holy Spirit does reshape our thinking. He absolutely does. But that is proven through day after day decisions to seek God and be His person. In Acts chapter 9, Saul's converted to Christ, but none of the Christians trust him. They're paralyzed with fear. In Acts 9:26, listen to this again. It says, "And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple." The chaos that they were feeling in that moment, it mirrored how many of us might feel right now. You might be scared, skeptical, and scattered. But God, he comforted them through one man's obedience. That was Ananias. God went specifically to Ananias and said, "This is my plan." Then there was proof by what Saul did. It proved his conversion as genuine. Soon after, the community embraced him and launched a movement. And church, what I'm telling you is that as you seek into, as you pour your life out to God, there is a ripple effect to your choosing to surrender your whole life. It won't just bring you personal peace, but by your surrender, it can bring healing to many around you as well. And so with the early church, the Spirit comforted their fears, spoke truth about Saul's change, and empowered them to move forward. Church, I am telling you that in our losses, God does the exact same thing. He transforms broken individuals into comforted, comforting bodies of Christ. And so listen to this. Through the uncomfortable areas of your life, God is going to bring you to a place of comfort. That in your pain, when you're comfortable, when you're at peace in that, others are going to see that and they're going to be like, "I don't understand how you can be at such peace with all this chaos." And you're going to say, "The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God." Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," not even you'll be able to understand it sometimes, "will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And church, my encouragement to you is trust his voice over the noise of the world. It's getting loud. There have been times it's so loud right now, I've stepped away from social media. I'm like, "Don't need that." I've turned off the TV. I said, "Don't need that." And there are so many people that are also vying for your attention. And so we really have to ask ourselves, what are we going to shut out? We can shut out God and listen to everyone else, or we can shut out everyone else and say, "God is the only one who needs to be speaking to me right now." We need to listen to his voice. 2 weeks ago, I was on a build project in Cuba. And I've been to Cuba about 7 times in the past couple years. And Cuba's a tough place. It's one of the toughest places I've ever been. And the whole country was without power while we were there. But we had sent a generator over because we have a project we're doing. And by the grace of God, he supplied enough gas that lasted that generator through the entire project. My last day. It's about 105 degrees, and we have 30 yards of concrete to pour by hand. And I'm listening to that generator, and I'm listening to that mixer run for 15 straight hours. And then I go back to the hotel we're staying at that had a backup generator, and the generator's running, and then that allows my air conditioner to run. And it's an old window air unit that had just one hole that blew out, and it sounded like this. And I look at my roommate, and I said, "I just want some peace and quiet. I just want to think." I realized when there's a lot going on, I can't even think right. And I just want to shut that out. Shut out the noise of the world and hear the Lord. You know, people want input in your life. We get advice from counselors. We get advice from podcasts, reels, YouTube, our neighbors, people we work with. And meanwhile, we really should just cut through all those temporary solutions, and we need to go straight to the source of comfort, healing, and peace. And then what you're going to find is that God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, we are being aligned with Christ. Where comfort isn't our escape, but it's empowerment for us to move forward. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to embrace transformational work belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to you. This is key for us moving forward. Transformational work belongs to the Lord. So many people I've heard them say after they've gone through a period of their life where they've overcome something or they've had some physical transformation or they even had a spiritual transformation where I see them saying, look what I've been able to do. Look what I've been able to accomplish over X amount of years. And I thought, hold on a second. That belongs to the Lord. That belongs to Him. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind that is testing you. That by testing you, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I started the service off today encouraging you to open the door. God doesn't just kick it wide open, and I wish He would with some. Being real. I wish He would. But He's a gentleman and He's waiting on you for the open invitation. But He says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God is knocking right now. And I will come into Him and eat with Him and He with me if you open the door, if you hear Him and open the door. So I'm going to read this again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. God is standing at the door to your soul right now, and He is knocking, and He's saying, I want in. I want all of it. I want full access to you. And so many of us are thinking, I've done that, haven't I? If you're living in pain, if you're living in hurt, if you're living in torment, if you're holding on to unforgiveness, if you still have bitterness in your life, you haven't. You haven't. Jesus wants you to be able to walk in peace. He wants you to walk in freedom. He wants you to have a clear mind that our thoughts are His thoughts. Where we can be humbly at His feet, and then all of a sudden our intents become His intents. That's who I want to be. Last verse today, John 14:27. Jesus says, and he just told him, I'm getting ready to leave you. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Open the door to the Holy Spirit today to give you peace. And then you're going to have that peace that surpasses all understanding. And people are going to say, I don't understand how you're able to go through that and be okay. I wasn't alone. Wasn't alone. What I want you to do right now is I want you to stand. There are people in this room that God, He is standing there at the door to your life and He's knocking. And He doesn't stop knocking. He wants in. Are you going to let him? Right now, what I want to do is I want to open up these altars. You know what? This is for the unbeliever and the believer alike. Let God in. There are so many people that accept Christ, but you know what? We close ourselves off to certain things. God's saying it's time to open yourself up to complete surrender. He wants all. He wants all of you. And so I'm going to pray right now, and then we're going to be singing in worship. But immediately, as soon as I'm done with prayer, if you say, Pastor, that's me, I want to walk in peace. I want to walk in true surrender. I want to walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. This altar is for you. And he wants to pour out on his people. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for your word today, God. And I thank you the comfort that is available to us. I thank you for that advocate that is there for us, God, that you want to walk alongside us. God, you don't abandon us. You don't allow us to just go about life being lonely. But God, if we say, Lord, I am yours, God, you are mine, Lord, you just come in like a flood. And God, you just surround us with your presence. And God, I am so grateful for the peace that you have brought to my life. Peace in difficult times. And God, you want to pour out your spirit on your people. And Lord, you want us to be transformed. And God, that is a renewal that happens on a daily basis when we choose you over the things of this world. So I pray for people to be able to lay things down at the altar today. To declare they are yours. And God, if you will just raise up within them a spirit of boldness to allow them to see that, God, the moment we step into action, Lord, your Holy Spirit activates. I thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, what he paved the way for is our redemption. Is our freedom, is our peace. And that, God, we are not alone. We have your Holy Spirit. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. If you say, I need God today, I need the altar, I need transformation, I need to walk in peace, I need to walk in his comfort, I need to surrender, come down right now. Don't waste.